One spy wears black. One spy wears white. Both are cunning masters of deceit and diabolicalness. Today on It's So Bad, we talk about Spy vs. Spy by Antonio Proheath.
Excellent intro. And this is It's So Bad, the podcast where we rank every video game ever. And this week we're talking about a very special game, Spy versus Spy. And when we say we rank every game, we're talking about every game. You know what really pisses me off right off the top about this game, Chris?
You're coming in real hot on this one.
Coming in hot. So welcome, Matt, again.
Hey.
Welcome, Chris.
Michael, hello.
So you know what really makes me upset about this game is the fact that the end label on the NES cartridge says Mad TV and not Spy vs. Spy.
Well, it was
Mad comic books. It was so upset about that.
So, you know.
It's not Mad. It's not the game Mad. It's Spy vs. Spy.
Right. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it looks like you started off from a bad place with this game. I guess like for
just back. Looking at my shelf, I got mad at this game.
For background, you know, we were a little bit of a pinch. Yes. You know, some plans fell through, you know, and I was like, what was a game I really enjoyed from my childhood? You know, not the greatest game on the planet, but I was like, what would be a fun game to talk about? Spy versus Spy. But
what is
apparently
this game?
I upset you.
What is this game, Chris?
Spy versus Spy is, it's a little hard to describe because it's so unique. It is such a unique game.
Yeah.
So you take control of one of the two spies.
They're black and they're white.
Yeah, black spy, white spy, representative of nameless countries and entities.
They look like
Cold War stand-ins.
You know what they look like? They look like, he looks like them because this was after this. Beetlejuice when Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he stretches out his nose. Yes, yeah. There you got cone-shaped faces.
Yes,
you know, triangular-shaped faces. So the object of the game is to you are in a building. With your rival spy.
It's not just a building. It's the embassy.
Sure. So you're in the embassy with your rival spy, and the goal of the game is to find passport, bag of money, keys, and secret files, and a briefcase to hold all those things, and escape the embassy along the way to sabotage your rival spy. You can plant traps all throughout the embassy, behind bookshelves, behind desks, behind photos, over doors. You can put acid above doors so that when you open up the door, the acid falls on you.
It's a bucket of water.
It's acid, Mike. Listen, I don't like your tone so far.
The instruction manual calls it a bucket of water, so we're going with the bucket of water.
It's a bucket of acid water, all right? that's it. It's like a precursor to Escape the Room, except with death.
Okay. Escape the Room? Like a escape room? Like the places you go to?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. I don't think I've actually done that before.
I haven't either, so I'm kind of talking on my ass on that.
When you die in the escape room, you know, the wings pop out of your back and you fly off the screen like in Spy vs. Spy, right?
Yeah, exactly. You turn into a little angel and you fly away.
And with your plague mask on.
Plague mask. The person that kills you cackles.
Listen, so they're wordless spies. That's the only noise they make is a little cackle.
Yeah.
You know.
So this was developed by First Star Software. It was released originally on the Commodore 64 and the Atari 8-bit system, ported to the NES in 1988. So it's a relatively, like, peak popularity NES game.
Sure, yeah.
Did you have this game back in the day?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Matt, did you have this game back?
I did. I hated it.
You had it back, back in the day?
I hated it, yep.
Oh, I didn't know you actually played this game.
Yeah. I think you came over to my house and we played it on the Pi one day.
Did
it? And you just like owned me. And you're like, oh, this is fun. I'm like, yeah, this game sucks.
That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. We drink beers over my house. So.
It would be, so it came out on like a bunch of different systems. Amstrad, CPC, the Apple II, ZX Spectrum. Another Spectrum shout out. Sega Master System it came out on.
Yes. Did it come out on that or did they just get the sequel that was like the The one that takes place in an island.
I think the original came out in there.
Probably, okay.
Amiga, Atari ST, Game Boy, Game Boy Color. A lot of different versions of this game came out. It was made by a couple people. The main guy, Michael Rydell, would go on to make Remote Control for the NES, which I actually like still. Gremlins 2.
Interesting. Okay.
And he made, later on in his career, Postal and Postal 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, weird, right?
Something broke him along the way.
It's kind of like one of the earlier U.S. developers. So he is. It's based in New York, Chappaqua.
Okay.
Weird. They made the First Star Software is probably best known for making Boulder Dash, but the team that worked on this didn't make Boulder Dash. But yeah, so object of the game, collect various different items and exit the door to the airport with your spy. What works and what doesn't work to you, Chris? Why do you like
what
this game?
What doesn't work? Well,
let's go over why you
why
like this game.
So, all right. My,
and then I'll be the black spy and say why what I don't
actually,
like.
Actually, I always prefer the black spy. Not one, they are not good or evil. They are both neutral characters.
Okay.
You know.
Can you play as black spy? If you're a single player?
No, you cannot.
Yeah, you have to play as White Spy.
Yeah, but, well, you know, let me get my time machine and go tell the guy that made Postal to fix that. Let's see how well that goes over, okay? So I had this game as a kid because at a very young age, for some reason, my parents got me a subscription to Mad Magazine.
Yeah, I feel like I had a subscription back in the day, too.
And I loved it, yeah. And I immediately gravitated towards the Spy versus Spy comic strip. So.
They're the best part. Besides folding the magazine in the back cover,
yeah,
to see what the secret message was.
There's a lot of great stuff. There's a lot of great stuff in those. Those are like ones, but I just always was a big fan of the spies, and an extension of that, when there was a video game, I got my parents to buy it for me, and none of my friends really wanted to play it with me all too much. But the few times though, I did get friends to play with me, I thought it was a lot of. I think it's a really fun multiplayer. It's not the greatest multiplayer game, but I mean, like,
it can be fun.
It's fun because it's like, you know, if you have two people who know what they're doing and like you're putting the traps all over the place, you know, like it's fun to go rummaging through behind the bookshelves and the desks to find these items. And if like you just don't keep track of where your opponent is putting the booby traps, like yeah. It gets like a little like
there's a lot of screen,
it's a little nail biting,
a lot of screen peeking going on this
oh,
game.
Oh, totally.
So
and Chris, like, you know, playing with him, he cackles like the main character though. Like that's why I'm like playing
did.
Yeah, see, he's doing it right now.
I learned it by watching them.
Do you, so this is like one of the first games I can think of, and we'll probably come across another one when we keep adding games, but first game with a split screen simultaneously.
It's an innovator.
Yeah.
An innovator.
Definitely an innovator. They, in the instruction manual for the NES version, they have trademarked Simulvision and Simulplay. Their Simulvision okay. is when you can look at the two players in two different screens, split screen like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you can really trademark that.
They tried. They tried. So they tried to trademark that. But yeah, so you can see both the players. Even if you're playing single player, you see both screens of what they're doing all the time.
Yeah, a mechanic that later be incorporated in, you know, such important games such as Madden.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Do you know if there's a limit on the number of booby traps you can put down?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I was just putting them down. I was like, you can just infinitely put.
Yeah, I don't know if you crash the game at some point by putting too many booby traps.
So
down.
You can put springs, bombs, buckets of water behind closed doors, and time bombs.
The springs my favorite.
Yeah,
it's really fun when it's like you have a spring that like knocks somebody, like let's say like you have a spring, like at a desk that's like in the center of the room, and there's like maybe you have like a door right behind that person. I love that the spring knocks them through like all the open doors that in yeah. the path until you hit a wall.
The same thing happens if you go to the exit before you have all the items, you get sprung out of the door.
Yeah, I don't know if that's supposed to be a fist or what that hits you when you yeah. open up the door, but
There's also remedies, so you can disarm the traps if you have a water bucket, a wire cutters, or umbrella out when you yeah. open these things.
Yeah.
But that's like It's like useless because it's like guesswork every time, unless you're like really looking at the other person's screen. But since you can put down so many different fucking items, it's like impossible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's part of the challenge. And every time you die, you lose time. So
you lose 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So depending upon the size of the map, the time limit is different, right? So it's like 5 minutes, right. 7.5 right, minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
As you
do
like the later levels, you have like two floors and stuff right. like that. So
yeah, and if you die, you lose 30 seconds. The one thing that I thought would be better about this game is if you got the other player's time down to zero, you should automatically just win.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to earn it. All right. Yeah, I know you want to be coddled and just have the win given to you.
In this game, if the time gets all the way down, then nothing happens. You both lose unless you escape the embassy. Well,
that's life sometimes. That's espionage.
That's life.
That's the spy life.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so you had a bad magazine subscription growing up. Did you guys enjoy Spy versus Spy growing up?
Hell yeah.
The comics?
Yeah, of course. Okay.
You, Matt?
I think I just saw it on like Mad TV for the most part.
Yeah, they're like animated versions of a lot of the classic strips.
Yeah, they did that.
Yeah.
I cannot think of any other strips besides like regular strips besides Spy versus Spy from Mad. Were there any other ones?
No, you had the regular contributors though.
Like, right.
Sergio Leone, was that his last name? He was another, he had like a lot of regular strips in Mad.
Sergio Leone is the guy who made the spaghetti western. So
yeah. Well, his first name's Sergio, all right? And he's the other guy in there. But yeah, I guess they are probably the only like recurring characters, I guess.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
We could probably look that up, and I'm not going to do that, though. So what's the deal with the guy who made this? You were telling me about this the other day.
Yeah, because, you know, this is not a super deep game, so I feel like we're going to have something else to talk about. So and we might as well educate people a little bit, give them a little treat.
So Antonio Prohias?
I think we'll go with. So Antonio Prohias was a very... He was a very well-known political cartoonist in Cuba before Fidel Castro's revolution, and then he became a very outspoken cartoonist against Castro once Castro took power. And at one point in time, I think he was like drawing political cartoons and comic strips for something like five or six different like Cuban newspapers, and you know, Fidel eventually kind of seized control of like all the major newspapers in Cuba. And he didn't do the spies in Cuba, but he had the precursor to the spies was a strip he did called El Hombre Siniestro. And you can kind of see like the blueprints of the spies in that. But he just had a lot of other standalone comics that, you know, accused Castro of being a communist and, you know, basically being like a...
Well, he was a communist, right?
But did he outwardly declare himself a communist, or when he was like going through his revolution, was he not calling himself a communist?
No, you know where he got in trouble was he accused, so Fidel Castro accused him of working for the CIA.
He was working for the CIA.
He was?
Well, there is some belief that he was being fed information from the, maybe not through the CIA, but the American government was showing him documents.
They were doing some wild shit back then with Fidel. Like a lot of Bugs Bunny cartoon shit comes from.
Yeah, so there's some story out there, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he was granted access to like a lot of like kind of documents about Fidel through the American embassy.
Oh.
And so he...
Is this where Spy versus Spy comes from?
No, it was just... but it was like, so there was like what the linchpin was for he is leaving Cuba was Fidel had like a big rally one day after he had already seized power, and he held up like a comic strip that Prohias had done, and he basically said like, he's like, we should execute this guy.
Oh God.
And he wasn't saying he was going to, but he was basically like, he's like, look what this guy is doing. And basically the crowd started chanting to execute Prohias.
So basically like what Trump does every day.
Essentially. Yes. So a lot of similarities. So,
fun times we live in. So, 2020 people.
So yeah, it was like funny. Cause like, Prohias didn't like flee into the cover of darkness. He literally just booked a flight, came to New York, and he developed the spies as, you know, I read that like he viewed it as like he wanted to have some sort of like kind of neutral, well, Cold War type standing countries going in, but like not make one good, not make one evil.
Right.
They're both ambiguous.
Yeah.
While they're both good, they're both evil.
It's funny though. He didn't speak like a lick of English when he went to MAD.
And right.
They just looked at his cartoons and they were like, yep.
He basically like whipped up a sketch in front of them and they were just like, oh, you're talented. Yeah. His daughter tried to translate. I don't think his daughter could really speak much English at the time either. So.
Yeah. The guy you were looking for, I think his name was Sergio Aragonés.
Yes.
Yes. He created the comic book Rue the Wanderer.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
But, yeah, that's the story of Proheus.
He's pretty cool. Antonio Proheus. Yep. He is a interesting fellow who made the Spy versus Spy series.
I think he was probably retired by the time this game had come out.
Well, he died in 98, so.
Yeah, but I think this game came out in what?
88.
Oh, 88? Yeah. So I think that was the year he retired from MAD.
So it came out in 88 for the NES. For the other systems, it came out in 84.
Okay.
Like after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was around for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, Spy versus Spy, two player, interesting. The thing that held me back from liking this game a lot was a couple things. So I like the fact that they do the split screen, but like the split screen gets hitchy, so it's like painful to look at sometimes. I would also say they do stuff with colors when you change screen that hurts my eyes.
This sounds like a you problem.
Yes, probably. But the one thing that you can't say is a me problem is the fact that in order to see the map, you have to hit the B button 5 times.
Yeah, you got to cycle through your weapons, yep.
In order to get out of that, you have to hit, to cycle through all of your weapons, you have to hit the B button 6 times.
Yep.
And the map.
Yeah.
Why can't they put the map on select, goddammit? What does A do in this game?
You got to earn it. We don't want to tell you. You got to earn it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Or like start. Start and select are just completely not used in this game. Goddammit. It's like, why? And then if you get into a fight with the other guy, if you have a knife, it's just
it's over. Well, there's two weapons in every level.
Right.
But like, I do remember like when I used to play with my friends back in the day, if I remembered where both the weapons were on the level, I would make like a beeline for both of them.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Are these randomly generated or are these just...
No, they're in spots.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just memorize where they... So he's fucking screwed you, Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah, cackling all the way.
Yeah.
He does that shit to me all the time.
Like a good spy.
He's like, oh, you want to play a pie?
And I know my environment.
I want to play this game, and then just I sit there and bash.
Oh, this little thing? I've never played this before. Oh, look at that. It's whipped your ass.
Yeah, so you know where all the stuff is?
Not anymore, but I mean like back then.
Do you still know where some of the stuff
is? Oh, yeah, I just ingrained it in my head. But I think one of the best things about this game...
It would be better if this game, if they were randomly generated, that'd probably be... I don't think that would be hard to do either. It's just they didn't do it.
They were already trendsetting with, you know, the dual screens.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, how much innovation do you want them to have?
There's like there's also 10 different difficulty levels, and the difficulty levels ups the time, also ups the size of the map. So you can go to 2 floors and there's a ladder that goes in between. Sometimes there's a secret ladder that goes in between.
I mean, and a lot of the rooms kind of look the same. So I think it is a little hard to
not kind of look the same.
They look exactly the same. But it gets hard to keep track of like where your opponent has.
Yeah, especially since traps. You have to press the B button 5 times to see the fucking map where he is. It's like, oh, God damn it. And then they, on the map, they show you where you are and where he is.
Yeah.
And they show you where traps are.
Yellow dots.
And what... Are they different color dots? Yep. So there's traps that are yellow dots, and then there's items that are different color
blue dots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you tell the difference?
No.
I know you are.
No. Colorblind, no. So. I'm colorblind. No,
I know you're. I know you are. So no, I'm not sure if you could tell the difference.
I could not tell the difference.
Okay. Blue and yellow.
Yeah. So that was difficult for me.
Okay.
They really need a colorblind mode in this game.
Does this take a turn?
Oh, my poor disability. No, I'm usually good. Yeah, no, this game was not the greatest. It's interesting. I'll say it's an interesting concept for a game that came out in 1988 to make a game that's like a two-player strategic trap game.
What did you think of the music? That's an iconic theme
in this game. I don't remember it at all, to be honest with you.
It's going through my head right now, and I hate that fucking game, but I'm telling you, it's like just the one whole track, time.
Right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like that, they, like, there's like, that's like a very popularly covered, like, jazz groups and like surf groups, like, have covered that theme like a bunch of times.
Is it a original piece for Spy vs. Spy, or is it a different work?
No, I think it's titled Spy vs. Spy, because there was like a famous cover. Like Edison, it was like, I came up with the group called like Edison something or other, but it's released as Spy versus Spy.
No, it is the Spy versus Spy theme song, main theme.
Yep.
No, I don't remember it, unfortunately.
Mm.
Is there more than one ending sequence?
No.
There's only one with the plane?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought for different levels you'd get different end sequences.
No, they didn't have time. They were developing. They were developing the split screen.
Making the split screen the work.
Cutting edge technology.
I'm kind of surprised that. Do you know of any other NES games that have split screen like this?
Like a two player split screen like that?
Where you can see the other player. I will say, too, when you enter the same room as the black spy and you're the white spy and it switches over to being the other screen.
Just one screen, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like disorientating for a second. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I can't. I can't think of it.
I think there's racing games, but
I was going to say, yeah, it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's interesting. But yeah, we should get into where we think this goes. Actually, before we do that, this game had two sequels on IBM PCs.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find it. They were released anywhere else besides IBM PCs.
I think in Japan, I think the Famicom got the sequel. It's like Paradise.
Yeah, Caper, it's something like that. Yeah. Is it similar? Do you know?
Yeah, but like not like that, like you don't have like rooms and stuff like that. Like same thing, you're trying to find items, but like you're on an island, and I think it's a little bit more side scrolly as opposed to
interesting,
you know, running to like an embassy.
Interesting. You know what I found recently for Famicom games that I didn't know existed?
No.
Did you know that Milo and Otis was a Japanese movie?
No.
Yes. Did you know also that it was there's a Famicom Disk System game for Milo and Otis?
Get out.
And also, did you know, okay, this is pretty crazy, that there's rumors that 20 cats died in the filming of Milo and Otis?
Well, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
Wow. No. How is that like not a big thing by now? My goodness.
I think you may have to dish out some Streets of Rage justice, right? on that.
So don't watch Milo and Otis, because there's also like shit like... There's scenes where a cat limps and they think that no one knows this for sure, but they're pretty sure that the director and the people involved hurt the cat to make it limp.
I don't like this talk at all.
It's fucked up. But beyond that, so Famicom games that I have found recently, okay. there's also a Garfield game called A Week of Garfield.
You just wake up, eat your lasagna on Monday, and...
I'm pretty sure it's a platformer, like every game. But yes, there's so many Famicom games.
Have you ever perused the subreddit, I'm Sorry, John?
Yes. No, I don't want to ever peruse that again, but yes.
It's awesome.
It's really bad.
It's Garfield basically as if he was a Lovecraftian horror.
Yes. Yeah.
It's great.
It's great. Spooky shit.
Yeah. It's good reading right before you go to bed.
Yes. There was a PS2 and Xbox game that came out, Spy vs. Spy. You have this on Xbox and PS2.
Yeah, I think I have it on both, yeah.
I don't have it, surprisingly. But
it was
a
budget title when it came out.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was like $20, I think, when it came out.
Yeah.
Same sort of idea.
Yeah.
Except you're in a 3D world.
They remade the original game for iOS.
Yeah, I had that for a while. I think it's off the iOS store.
Yeah, it took it down recently. But yeah, so this game has some sort of legacy that people like.
Quite a legacy.
Well, I don't know about quite.
Quite a legacy.
I wonder if they'll ever make a Spy versus Spy game again. They probably will. They're making every game now, so.
Well, I don't know. Mad's about to go the way of the dodo.
Oh, yeah, so that's true. Yeah.
That could be the end of that.
Yeah, they have not converted to the digital age quite well. and Buttigieg, he also, Buttigieg there, whatever you want to call him, he also said that I don't know what Mad is when Donald Trump called him
Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that must be a generational thing. Good for you, buddy.
Our generation, bro.
Yeah. So, again, impressive that it's two players simultaneously with split screen, but I have rooms problems with it, obviously. I did not have a lot of fun with this game, unfortunately, and I don't think it's an especially deep game.
Right, so, I,
so let's get to our ranking.
So my ceiling... well, actually, you should describe the endless list first. Describe the endless
list. Yes, so you can check out our endless list on our Medium page, which is linked in the podcast description. It is currently 64 games. This will be our 65th game that we're adding to the endless list. It goes from 1 Super Mario 64 to Jurassic Park Trespasser, which has been dominating at the end since August. We had it on there. But yeah, 64 games. The idea behind the list is we're adding every game ranked... And if it holds up, if it has great graphics, this game doesn't, it doesn't. And how it plays, its song, if it's innovative, if it has influence.
Its song.
It's one song. We played a lot of games with one song this for this recording session.
We did, yeah. You know, I think, you know, I'm going to be fair. I'm going to put my ceiling. There's another game in this list that I think is kind of similar. And so
that's Home Alone.
I'm gonna say my ceiling. It's not better than Metal Gear Solid because I feel like Metal Gear Solid, which is our number two game, really kind of took the espionage, sneaking around, finding items, mechanics that this game really innovated and paved the way for,
right?
And improved on it. Yes. So, you know, I think Metal Gear Solid owes a lot to this game. You know, but
are we gonna work down 64 games? Yeah, 63.
All right. No, really. Okay.
The first, the like,
let's start peak, from the bottom.
The peak of trapping games is Metal Gear Solid.
All right, let's start from the bottom and work up. This is definitely better than Trespasser. Definitely better than Trespasser.
Yes, it's a functional game.
The music alone makes it iconic. Sequels alone.
I will say that it has iconic characters in it that Jurassic Park Trespasser does not. I would also say that it's...
Dinosaur, is that iconic to you?
Well, there's... I mean, the dinosaurs that are in Trespasser are like barely functional dinosaurs. They just stand there. They're terrible dinosaurs.
Do you think it's better than pro wrestling for the Sega Master System?
I enjoy my time playing... Oh, okay, here's what I'll say. I think pro wrestling for a Sega Master System is super one note. You punch a guy, you knock him down, and then you pin him. There's nothing else. You can throw him to the ropes and then punch them.
Yep.
There's like nothing else in that game. It's a functional game, unlike Jurassic Park Trespasser, which makes it higher than that. I would say with this game, it's more innovative.
Yeah,
It's split screen, and the multiplayer is probably more fun than the pro wrestling for the Sega Master System multiplayer.
So pretty much all the points you just made there are why I go, this goes above Home Alone.
See, I will allow that. I think it should go above Home Alone.
Has done something. You are, even though it's like the third from the bottom in our list.
I enjoy
Home
that
Alone
game.
Has done something to you. I think you have Stockholm syndrome from playing that game.
That game like turned into like a horror game for me. So it's like you're being chased by these two AI robots around this house. It's like one house. And you have 20 minutes to survive, and you have to lay down traps and stop them. But you're just like sitting there waiting for them to come, and it's like tense, and there's action.
You move like shit.
Yeah, you
do.
The
graphics look like vomit.
Yeah, the graphics do suck.
And that game came like, I was blown away when you told me like, what are you?
It was like 90.
Out.
Yeah,
it came out like in the 90s.
Yeah, it came out 91 for the NES.
Yeah.
So just on that alone, the fact that it came out in 91 and this game came out almost 10 years before that.
Yeah.
This game should go ahead of that.
Yeah. Pit Fighter.
So...
Pit Fighter's horrendous.
Yeah, I don't think that this game
don't even know how we put Home Alone below Pit Fighter, because even I kind of scratch my
head. So, I think there's a difference, right? So, if you play the Super Nintendo version of Pit Fighter, it's terrible. If you play the Genesis version, it's all right.
Still fucking terrible.
No, it's all right. It's all right. If you play the arcade version, it's better than all right. So, that's the problem with that game, is that... It's like all over the place, the ports. It's difficult because of the time periods when those two games came out where I should put this game. But I think it either goes above or below Pit Fighter.
Go ahead, say it goes above.
No.
I agree with you, Mike.
Pit Fighter is like a fighting game that is a shittier multiplayer game than Spy vs. Spy.
I don't know. It's pretty fun. I like the fact that they throw pills at you and you have weapons. And I think it's definitely better. It was going to be better looking. I think it's varied because you have different characters that you can play as and across the various different versions. I think the weapons add some different difficulty. I think it's got a progression to it in terms of the gameplay, in terms of ramping up the difficulty, where this game does not. Spy vs. Spy does not. Just one flat. I think that's also the one-note nature of all the rooms really does something for me, where it's just like not varied enough.
Some rooms have pictures.
Of a guy with a hat?
Yeah, some rooms have a TV.
Yeah.
Some rooms have a little umbrella rack where you can get the umbrella. You know, so not only is it a trap game, find the item game, whatever that would be, it's also a fighting game. You know, two spies end up in the same room together, you have a fighting game now. It's multi-genre.
Yeah.
Pit Fighter's not multi-genre.
Yeah.
It's just one shitty fighting game.
I still think that this game should go.
Spy vs. Spy has an iconic theme.
No.
I think it's in Matt's head. It's in Matt's head right now.
I think this game should go below.
Oh my god.
Are we gonna
Your thoughts?
I enjoyed Pit Fighter for Sega.
Oh my god.
More than this shitty game, so
it's surprising that I've looked at screens of the Commodore 64 version and the Atari 8-bit version, and those are exactly the same as the NES version. Mm-hmm. So they didn't do anything when they ported it to the NES. It was just like, slap here.
Well, I mean,
we're gonna cash grab on the NES.
I mean, do you put some additions to the Mona Lisa if you display it somewhere else? I mean,
we're talking about the, I don't know. I think it should go in between Pit Fighter and Home Alone.
Well, I mean, it looks like you guys outvoted me. So, you know,
let's do it.
So you guys put a spring. Guys put a spring behind my desk.
We can all agree that
put water over your door.
I think we can all agree that Monster in My Pocket is a better game.
Yes, it was not going to get over that Monster in My Pocket hurdle. Yeah.
So, let's add this as our new number 62 game. We're filling in the end of the endless list.
There you go. Trespasser remains at the bottom. That's going to be a tall order to dethrone Trespasser.
Yeah, we should add a really bad game.
I don't know what's going to be harder, to dethrone Trespasser or dethrone Super Mario 64. Probably Trespasser.
Yeah, probably Trespasser. Because we want to play good games. We don't want to play bad games. So, all right. Well, we have a new number 62 game. Congratulations to Spy vs. Spy for being the 62nd best game of all time.
That's your legacy, Mr. Priest.
I'm sure there will be many games that go below it and many games that go above it.
Sure, so, that will literally happen, yeah.
But thank you guys for joining me this afternoon. Thank you. It's been wonderful. You can, again, check out the endless list of the complete 65 games on our Medium page, and also you can follow us on Twitter at itsobadpod, and itsobadpod@gmail.com is the email address. We'll be back next week with another episode. Who knows what the fuck that will be? No one knows.
More Mad games out there?
Madden games?
No, Mad.
Oh, Mad games. Or Madden games.
Well, there's a bunch of those out there.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.